You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
Thank you very much, Alan. I'll just pray and then we can dive straight in. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us here this morning. Thank you that we get to worship you and join in fellowship with you. I pray that you really shine through in what I talk about this morning and we learn more about you. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to be a community that is centered on loving Jesus. I'm going to be using the final few verses of 1 Corinthians 16. That's the final chapter of the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the community, the church in Corinth, which was an ancient Mediterranean city. He helped set up the church, and then a few years later, he wrote them this letter. So that's what we're going to be looking at. I'll read out the scripture, and then we'll focus in on the things that I'm going to talk about. And you can hear me fumble through some interesting words. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first covenants in Achaia, and they devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, here we go, Fortunatus and Achaicus arrived because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the fanciest slide, so from here on in it gets a lot more boring. So I'm going to focus on verses 14, 22, and 24, and I'm going to take them one by one. Each of these things hopefully say a little bit about what it looks like to be a community that's centered on love. So, verse 14, do everything in love. Now, when Paul was writing to the Christians at Corinth, they were facing quite a few issues. There were issues around spirituality being turned into a competitive sport, with divisions between those who debated over who possessed the most wisdom or those who could speak the most in tongues. There were disputes over gifting, there were legal disputes, and there were questions over whether it was wrong to eat meat that had been used as a sacrifice to idols. So they were handling a whole range of different issues, and a significant of proportion of them were addressed in the letter that Paul wrote to them. A lot of the things that Paul spoke about hinged on the idea around being a community and how to be with each other. He takes the issues and he addresses them and he unpacks them throughout his letter. And then right at the end, he umbrellas everything, all of his guidance and all the problems with this: do everything in love. I think it's pretty easy to infer from this that Paul believed their problems to be coming from a place where love was absent. Their problematic actions and attitudes were coming more from competitiveness, ego, and earthly wants instead. So he was calling them to be a loving community. This theme of love is a continual one throughout the book of 1 Corinthians and is especially highlighted in chapter 13, which can often be referred to as the chapter of love. Paul lists out about 15 things that love is. For example, love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. Paul was encouraging the people of Corinth to lean into this, and instead of focusing on competition and earthly worries and human wisdom and self-preservation, to lean into loving each other instead. In other words, putting other people before themselves, being generous, supporting each other, lifting each other up in faith. What's also worth noting here is that the sentiments of chapter 13 were not intended as a romantic kind, even though they can often appear in weddings. He was writing about the need for mutual concern and consideration within the church community. He was calling for them to be devoted to each other, which is probably why he refers to them as brothers and sisters so many times throughout his letter to them. It's to reinforce the idea that they're family, and families, hopefully, love each other and act out of love towards each other. What Paul was asking them to do, to love each other and do everything in love, was also quite radical at the time. There were probably quite a few factions and divisions among them as a group, and loving each other was last on the agenda. They wouldn't have met in a building like this on a Sunday. They would have met in people's homes, in people's houses, with 20, 30, 40 people. And so divisions did start to arise. I think this makes Paul's message even stronger. He wasn't encouraging love amongst a community that was already united and just needed a little encouragement. He was asking people who were in active conflict to do everything in love for each other. I wonder what it looks like for us today to love radically. Maybe it means praying for those who society has written off. What would it look like to love somebody who we don't even really consider a friend? Or perhaps offering kindness to someone that the world says is undeserving. What an incredible way that we can be witnesses to Jesus, of Jesus, to people by radically loving others. So, to summarize verse 14, Paul has neatly summarized one of the core themes of his letter to the Corinthians in this one sentence: do everything in love. This may have been directly aimed at their community, but it's a message that still resonates with us today. He's indicating that we should also do everything in love. He then goes on to say this: if anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. That seems pretty bold, given everything that I've just said about Paul encouraging them to be a community that loves each other. This verse is also probably one that maybe modern-day readers skim over. It's a little bit uncomfortable, the idea of talking about a curse. I think that's why it's important that I address it here today and going into it in a little bit more detail. Because when Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to do all things in love, there's something extra that's required. That's not the end of it. There's more to it than just that. But I do want to clarify what I don't think Paul is talking about here. But this is not a verse intended to be read in a hellfire and brimstone or condemnation sort of way. Paul could be talking about unbelievers, warning them against false preaching. He might be talking to believers of Jesus who might face consequences in this lifetime for not loving Jesus. Or it might even just be that Paul is uninterested in anyone or anything that doesn't have a love for Jesus at the center. No matter the way you read this verse, verse 22, the underlying point remains the same. And that is that as Christians, we should have a love for Jesus. This is where your love for others will truly blossom from. So Paul is encouraging them and us to be a body of people that love each other through our love of Jesus Christ. Some of you may be rightly thinking that it's possible to have community without any kind of faith at all, and of course that's true. There are sporting communities, craft-based communities, lots of others. So what makes our community and the love we have for each other so dependent on Jesus when other communities don't have this? Well, as Christians, we're called to be different. We're called to be like Jesus. And Jesus is the ultimate giver, a complete self-sacrificing Savior that continues to pour out to us today, filling us with his strength, his mercy, his grace, and his love. A Savior that perfectly exemplified true love through his sacrificial death. If we devote ourselves to Jesus as we're called to do, if we love him as we're called to do, everything that he pours out into us can also be poured out into others. Our own strength and stamina would not necessarily allow us to love in a way that we can with the help of Jesus. So to be able to devote ourselves to each other in the best way possible, we first need to devote ourselves to Jesus. For example, if we take the idea of unconditional generosity and Jesus' example of it, phrases like quid pro quo and I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, they will become redundant in a community like ours. And that's because those who serve others are refilled by the Holy Spirit rather than requiring or seeking a transactional exchange in order to be generous in the first place. And how do we know that this is a good thing to be doing or aiming for? Well, because Jesus did it first. What's also interesting to note is that Paul's focus throughout 1 Corinthians tends to be on morality and behavior rather than doctrinal or theological issues. But his response remains grounded in Jesus. That serves to reinforce the idea that no matter the problem, doctrinal, moral, or otherwise, the route to resolution begins with the love of the Savior. Finally, verse 24, he closes with this: my love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. After all that Paul has written, after all of his boldness, all of his warnings, all of his rebukes, his final line to the people of Corinth is about his love for them. He is taking the opportunity to demonstrate exactly what he has told them to do amongst themselves. I think it's pretty clear that Paul probably loved Jesus. I think that's not too much of a stretch to say. He traveled around the Middle East preaching about Jesus and the gospel, helping early Christian communities to stay strong in their faith and setting up churches, and then writing to them and rebuking them. So, despite all of their failings, all of their struggles, all of the aggravation that they were causing Paul, none of this gets in the way of his love for them, because they are bound by a unique bond, the bond of loving Jesus and knowing that Jesus loves them. Paul is demonstrating to them that this is what you do with your brothers and sisters. You keep each other being steadfast in faith. You support and guide each other. You lift each other up. You call people out when it's needed. And you keep people on the straight and narrow because you love Jesus and therefore you love them. And you want to see them prosper in a community that's centered on love. The very act of sending this letter to the Corinthians is a direct and precise demonstration of all of these things. Paul is also able to demonstrate that his pride or reputation or self-preservation is of no consequence to him. He knows that this letter will not necessarily be received well by people. He knows it, but he sends it anyway, for their greater good. I wonder how many of us might be avoiding having difficult or challenging conversations with people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, because of pride, self-preservation, or even just a slight uncomfortableness. Maybe we're worried about how we might be perceived. Maybe we're worried that it might hinder relationships. When actually those conversations, those hard conversations that we need to have with people, might mean helping another believer to grow in their faith and help us to be true to our own too. True love for one another does not equate to universal acceptance of all behaviours and words, and hard truths are important. I just want to be really clear here. I'm not encouraging us to go after this meeting and have a go at anyone that's ever upset us, obviously not. These conversations are to be done through love and trust and foster that in those conversations. But I do think it's worth a pause of reflection. As a community, we're accountable to one another in the good and the less good. And perhaps it's also helpful to try to discern how our actions and relationships within the church and outside of it express or fail to express our love for each other. So final few thoughts on how this relates back to us today. Thankfully, you'll be very relieved to hear, I am not diagnosing York City Church with all of the problems that the Corinthians were facing. Definitely not. Alan wouldn't let me back up here if I was doing that. That does not undermine the importance of his message to them or the relevancy to us today. Their struggles were different to ours, but the solution to them remains the same. Whatever struggles we might be facing, individually or as a community, Paul is rightly highlighting a need that we all share and something that we should all be seeking. Ultimately, we are called to be disciples of Jesus. And what does that mean? It means orientating our lives around the one true God who is faithful, generous, and abounding in grace. It means putting God, Jesus, at the center of our lives. We sing about doing that. For some of us, this might already be happening, and for others, this might seem like a really scary thing to do. For those who are in that camp, Jesus will meet us wherever we're at. And when we begin to lean into him more, when we start to understand him more, and when we start to love him more, there is a transformative power that takes place. There is something incredibly powerful, not only about the love that Jesus has for us, but the love that we can have for him too. Once we start seeking that, our lives are changed, and so are we as a community. It's worth noting that Paul knows what he's directing the people of Corinth to do. It cannot be done overnight. It takes time, practice, and hard work. I hope that we all have somebody in our lives that we can look at now and know that they are the person they are today because they have walked a long and faith-filled life with Jesus, and they reflect this out to the world. That is evidence of the amount of power Jesus has in our lives today, not just in relation to salvation. And if you don't know anyone like that, just ask the Bixbys round for tea, because there you go. A final reminder that Paul is talking to the Corinthians about their daily issues, not just about what happens at church on a Sunday. Therefore, being a community that has Jesus at the center is so much more than just attending church on a Sunday. The unbreakable bond that binds all of us here together extends beyond these walls and extends beyond a Sunday. So let's take these words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians and endeavor to love Jesus and each other.